Does God answer all your prayers? I posed this question to my third and fourth graders at our Catholic school. I was somewhat surprised to hear most of them say, no. Obviously, I wanted to find out more. I'll tell you what I learned coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. This is the show that's all about spiritual direction, offering you some encouragement and inspiration for living out your Catholic faith today. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. When my third and fourth grade students said they didn't think God answered their prayers, or at least not all their prayers, my next question was this. Well, how are you expecting God to answer your prayers? Most of them shrugged and said, I don't know. Okay, need to take a different tack. Can you give me an example of a prayer you've prayed that God didn't answer? Now the responses started coming in. One by one, they told me of various prayers they'd prayed, all petitionary prayers, that is, asking God to provide something. Some of their requests were more frivolous. I wanted God to make sure that I got this toy or that book. But some were more serious. Restored health for an ailing family member, for nights without bad dreams, for a parent to be less upset. My heart went out to them, but I tried to summarize what they had all said. So you're saying that you think God didn't answer your prayers because you didn't get what you wanted. Is that right? Many nods all around the classroom. Now, these are young kids, but truth is, we've all been there, haven't we? Haven't you prayed to God for things, some more frivolous, some more serious, and God hasn't delivered? Or at least it seems like he didn't? I know I have. My fear is that, for my students at least, if they think God isn't answering, they'll think prayer is unproductive, not worthwhile, and slowly they'll stop praying. But is getting what we want what prayer is all about? I think you know the answer to that. So what is prayer all about? Today on the program, we're talking about prayer and the attitudes and expectations we as God's beloved sons and daughters should carry into prayer. With us today as our spiritual director is Father Sam Martin. Father Martin is the pastor of Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Wausau in the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Father Martin, good to be speaking with you again. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Patrick, I mean, it's a great rev up for the weekend. Any priest would be grateful for an opportunity to be with the people of God and you. And this topic about prayer is one that is a perennial topic because it's more of an art than a science. And it's really important. It's essential to becoming a saint. So it's a part of, you know, the art of being a disciple, following the Lord, and someday we hope going home to heaven and looking back and say, you know what, it was worth it. Wow, I'm really grateful for the people that helped. And that's what we do on this show. We help each other learn how to listen and obey and trust and all those good things. So good to be with you, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Yeah, good to be with you, too. As you said, good run up to the weekend here. I'm sure we're all looking forward to that. Well, when we're talking about prayer, Father, I mean, you wade into the pool, and it kind of a baseline definition, I suppose, as many people would give it, is it's conversing with God, yeah? But there's something, even if we drill down into that word conversing, I mean, conversation's a two-way street, right?
Yeah, the hardest part for human beings is listening, and even that isn't the end-all. There's actually another step. So somebody was saying recently, like, if your mother says, hey, I asked you to clean your bedroom. My, I heard you. No, I know that you heard me. I have no doubt about that, but now you need to obey me. Whoa, that's another step. See, so listening is loving. So the best, there's a statue of Jesus, the listener, in the little town of Marshfield, and God's a good listener. He really is. He's keenly interested in us. We're not such good listeners. We're not so always interested in him, and listening it takes time, patience, and trust. It carve out space in our lives and in our minds just to be attentive, and it's something that we work on all of our life. Anybody that's married or has any sort of friendship recognizes that listening is a way of showing that I'm really, you know, I care about you. I genuinely want to get to know you, and I'll sometimes we'd prefer to do the talking, of course, but the listening, and so being in conversation is you know, to get to know someone. Mm-hmm. And it does affect, I mean, other people affect. I was at the hospital, my mom had a little surgery, and the nurse was talking about her mom was becoming more reclusive as she gets older, and that was, you know, kind of worrying her. And she said, but one day she said, Mom, did you talk to somebody on the phone today? Well, yes, but how did you know? Because you're different, you're happier. So the communion that God wants is to draw us out of ourselves. It could be like a turtle going into our shell. It's safer, but not necessarily better. So prayer is a way of drawing us out of ourselves into this communion that we're going to share, please God, forever in heaven. We'll be like God. We'll see him as he is. And this life of the Trinity now will be the life that we all share. And that's why prayer is so crucial. It's a preparation for that and an anticipation of that and even a little taste of it once in a while. So people that pray don't always get what they're asking for. You know, I want the Brewers to win the pennant. Well, that would be a sign probably if something maybe apocalyptic, I don't know. But I do, you know, so we don't always get those sorts of prayers answered the way that we want. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing for a kid to ask for, you know, the things that they have their heart set on. But that's a step of now we're going to ask you to ask, you know, to look for other things. Okay, you learn to pray for what you want and need, and that's not, you know, a terrible thing. But if you stick with prayer, you start to think about other people and what they want or need, and that's already a step toward becoming like Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. And prayer is going to configure us to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, going back to the listening thing, Father, I think, well, we're coming up on Good Shepherd Sunday here. We got the passage Jesus is claiming to be, he is the Good Shepherd. That's what he's saying. And one of the lines out of the Good Shepherd readings that always catches me in this Sunday's reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, I mean, he says, I know mine and mine know me. And later on, he says, they will hear my voice. It's like other places he says that my sheep know my voice, right? And so how do we come to know the voice of the Lord? Or is it just something that's innate within us when we decide to follow Christ? But in my experience, though, it's something that we need to learn to listen for the voice of God.
Yeah, it's both, I guess. Some of it's there. I mean, C.S. Lewis would talk about, you know, discovering this law that's written on our hearts. Like we have a general, kind of maybe a vague sense at times, but that some things are just wrong, you know, that you shouldn't take life, you know, that unless you're defending yourself or it's a just war or something like that, but the idea of murder, most people find repulsive, and where does that come from? Well, he began to think that if there's a law written on our heart, maybe there's a lawgiver, so there's some sense of who God is and what his voice sounds like, but a lot of it has to be by training. So well, many of us, by the process of elimination, you know, and I had school mass with the little kids on Wednesday, so we're going to get chickens here at my parish because we're going to have a classical school, and I want the kids to be around creation so they know how God created everything for us, but created us for himself. So anyway, I was telling the kids about the chickens. I said, I don't have a real one with me today, but let me show you what one looks like. And I pull out this duck decoy. Right away, they're like, that's not a chicken. Well, of course, it's a chicken. That's a duck. Oh, and then I told them, well, this is the sound that a duck makes, and I bark like a dog. No, that's not what a duck. Anyway, I said, look at you guys. I mean, you know what this is, and you know the sound that it makes. And the people in the Bible, because it was talking about these people that were healed by Jesus from evil spirits, I said, they were listening to the wrong voices. They didn't recognize the voice of God. They were listening to his enemy. And the reason you come to a Catholic school is to learn to recognize the difference, because there are a lot of counterfeits. There are a lot of voices out there that are going to tie us into knots, make us sad or judgmental or angry or full of fear. But to listen to the voice, to know our Lord's voice, that is why a Catholic school, a parish, the sacraments, a whole life of formation. I mean, we're not a finished product when we're born. There are things that God put so deep that not even the devil can touch. Okay, he did that for us because he's wise, he's benevolent. Mm-hmm. But now that needs to be fed, it needs to be fostered, it needs to be fueled by the life that God is going to teach us. So I think it's both. You know, we do, to some degree, recognize the voice of God, probably more when we're a kid. We get off box when we're adults, you know.
Right,
that's where
good
we
point.
Kind of fall for things that I wanted to believe. I remember the Pennsylvania bishop, something about some document on cohabitation, and said that when there is our own self-interest, when it's something we really want, our capacity to delude ourselves, to deceive ourselves, is almost unrivaled. I'm like, yeah, isn't that the truth? You know, like, looking back, I know that that was the wrong person to listen to, but I just wanted it to be true. I wanted to listen. I wanted to, you know, so anyway, these are things that when it comes to prayer, we recognize that, you know, little kids are very, they're very easy about learning. It's the best time to teach them how to pray because they're little sponges at that age. And, you know, that's how they pick up communication. They just, they don't learn vocab. They just hear words and they start to mimic and imitate. And pretty soon they have a pretty significant vocabulary. So it is for prayer. Some of it's already there by being designed, created by God in his image and likeness. The rest of it is the old school of hard knocks. And we've all had to learn a few lessons that way.
Yeah, true enough. We're talking about prayer today with our spiritual director, Father Sam Martin. How's your prayer life? Do you find it difficult? Is it a struggle to pray on a regular basis? Is it something you look forward to regularly? Or is it somewhere in between? Maybe it's some things are a joy and a gift to you. Other things, maybe you're struggling like my third and fourth graders did and finding that God doesn't seem to be hearing your prayers. Give us a call. Join the conversation. We'd love to hear about where you're at in your prayer life and give some encouragement and inspiration to you and all of our listeners. Give us a call at 888-914-9149. That's our toll-free studio line sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. And the number again is 888-914-9149. Our email address, if you'd like to send us an email, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Well, one of the things in terms of prayer being the kind of a foundation of this relationship, well, not kind of, it is the foundation of this relationship that we're developing. As you said, Father, I mean, it's what we're created for. We're created for union with God, and this is getting us going down that track. But Jesus himself prayed. I mean, he had a developed relationship with the Father, obviously, being the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But when he walked the hills of Palestine, he went away, and he went away to pray. What's significant about our Lord praying, Father?
Well, of course, he's giving his life as an example. He knew that these things would be remembered and passed on generation after generation. And all of us are, you know, we look up to people. Imitation is the highest form of flattery, or something they used to say. So we recognize that if he did it, and look at how, you know, he loved, look at how he forgave, look at how he denied himself, and he was so courageous. I mean, I want to be like that. Well, what are the things that he did to become like that? And he would say, well, that hey, come and see. And so it's recorded in all the Gospels that this was a man who, of course, is God's son, and he's becoming more and more aware of that, even in the as a boy in the temple. Did you not know I had to be about my Father's business in my Father's house? And what do we do in the Father's house but to give praise and to offer, you know, gratitude and so forth? So he is by example. And, of course, I mean, it also shows something about the mystery of the Trinity, that in the incarnation that he is away from home. He enters our world, but he brings his world with him, that he's still, the Father and I are one. You see me, Philip, you see the Father. Don't you know? Have I been with you this long and you don't recognize that truth? And yet, the abandonment on the cross, that my God, why have you abandoned me? When he quotes, you know, the Psalm and, you know, with Psalm 22 and you know, the despair that he feels. And it's, as I get older, reading that line, you know, for the Passion, you know, with Holy Week just behind us, it's, because loneliness and isolation and all that is part of the human struggle, and it may be one of the harder parts of it, and every human being seems to have to grapple with it, that we feel sometimes so alone and so lonely and so isolated, and then it's going to be very difficult to pray, but it's precisely then that, you know, we really need to. That's the best time, is to unite that, you know, existential angst, like I, you know, that, you know, for us as celibates, as priests, that we have to always live with that mystery, you know, that we're made our arms to have and to hold someone, but, you know, in imitation of Christ, we make a vow not to. That's not a human thing. That's a divine initiative, so to speak, that it wasn't, you know, there from the beginning, but in imitation of Jesus, we learn to live more and more like him. And, of course, priests are like every other human being. We're fallen creatures. We're damaged by original sin. We have to carry our treasures in very earthen vessels too. But I think that in dying to some of those desires and letting God help us with that, that we start to, you know, maybe by our own imitation of Christ, that we're too to help others to taste and see the mystery of a God who was not afraid to leave his Father without really leaving him on one level, but on another level, very, you know, real was the isolation living in this world. I mean, I suppose at night they're having a good chuckle about, you know, Father, they're not getting it. I mean, I don't know how long we've got here, how long this is going to take. And at the end, Jesus even concedes, there are many more things I'd like to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. I'll send the Holy Spirit. We'll finish this, and we're never really going to finish it. You know, it goes on and on. It's a divine project that has a beginning in this world but only ends in the next. So there are many, I suppose, reflections on the fact that Jesus was praying. And it's the last thing he did from the cross. He's praying, into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, these are things that are, you know, little exclamations, a little, you know, ways of uniting our heart with the Lord. And in this case, the Lord with his Father on behalf of suffering humanity. So other meditations could follow, I suppose, but that's at least a visceral reaction.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Father, one of the things that oftentimes comes up, in fact, I just had this conversation with my third and fourth graders as well, is that, you know, I'm encouraging them to just tell God about your day, tell him about your life, what's going on, you know, and not just asking him for things, but to just enter into conversation with him as we were continuing to talk about prayer. And one of the things that I heard back from them, and I got to say, this is probably maybe in the minds of many adults as well, is, well, he already knows all of it. I mean, he already knows all the details of my life anyway. Why should I tell him about it? What would you say to that, Father?
Well, I suppose like any friendship, you know, that it's still nice to hear, you know, these things. I mean, I just watched Fiddler on the Roof, and Tevye asked his wife, do you love me? And she's like, what? And I'm like, well, do you love me? I've cooked and cleaned and raised the kids. I've done all this for 25 years, and now you ask me? And he's like, well, I mean, I know, yes, that love proven more by deeds than in words. Right, that's true, but even so, it's nice to hear. And so they kind of conclude, and, you know, that hearing from a person and sharing the exchange of the life that we're living. My dad would come home at night, always the same time. He was a farmer by vocation, but he had to work this job as a machinist, and only to pay the bills and make it go. But he really, you know, it was hard for him to go to work because he loved to be on the farm. Anyway, he'd come home at night, and Mom would say, how was everything today? Fine. And that was about it. I mean, Dad, that part of his life, he just didn't really want to discuss, and which was his prerogative. But I think, you know, as Dad got older, he would have recognized that he should have reciprocated, like, how was your day? Because Mom wanted to share. I mean, she spent the whole day with us as kids, which you might be shocked, Patrick, but it wasn't really that stimulating at times. You know? So she was looking for some adult conversation, and I know we know a lot of things about each other, but there's something about sharing our life, and especially with someone who seems to genuinely care, you know? Right. And that's how the friendship is deepened. It's how things are challenged. So, like, you know, the old proverb that iron sharpens iron. What we've done for this, the Eucharistic, you know, revival a little bit is with our religious education students to bring them to adoration. So I've done it a few times now, just pray out loud, which I'm not that comfortable with. I mean, I don't mind talking to God just in the silence of my heart, but to do it in front of people. But I just kneel with the kids, and we are, you know, looking at Jesus, and I just talk like, Lord, there were some struggles today. I was discouraged by this, or I was, you know, afraid of that, or just to kind of give them a sense that you can just talk to God. He loves to listen to us. He really, you know, is proud of us. He delights in us, it says in the scripture. And to give them that example, I don't know if the kids got anything out of it. I know the adults really appreciated it, because a lot of times we just presume people know how to pray. But it's a foreign language for us now, fallen creatures, you know. And so it doesn't hurt to watch someone pray. And then, well, what do you say to God? I tell him, you know, thank you for this day. I have these things I'm worried about today, Lord. I hope you help me. I guard my heart, Lord, because I get thinking about things, and then I get frustrated, and then I make judgments, and that's not right. And anyway, Lord, there's this other person I'm thinking about that needs your help, and I'm praying, you know, give them peace in the midst of their trials. Help them to know that it's all going to work out. You know, that it's going to have a happy ending. Things like that, you know, that... So we help people, you know, have that sense that, okay, God knows everything, sure. But even so, he really, And by telling him, I mean, people say, well, why do I have to tell God my sins? He already knows them. True. But if you can tell God your sins, it's a quantum leap in your ability to trust him. You know, it's a, you're really being vulnerable, and that gets rewarded every time. And by telling God out loud in the confessional, I did these things and I'm sorry, your heart will be changed. Your life will be changed. It's an amazing, you know, this is why, you know, you go to a counselor, and you have to say out loud what's troubling you. Can I just write it? Can I email you my problems? No, I need you to say it, because there's a power of speech. There's a power of communication. There's something that happens. And this is why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and then spoke words that changed. When God said, let there be light, those words were so powerful that they created things. So it is the Word that, you know, that we speak to God in the silence of our hearts and our prayer that he's waiting, he is delighting in, and he, of course, being the good listener, he lets us in. And we don't have to have it all, like, you know, figured out. And, you know, the extemporaneous kind of speech or the prayers, I rarely will allow myself to have a prayer written out. That I'd always try to do it from the heart. That's really, you know, really difficult. That's not a skill that I will ever have. But I always think it's the old Cardinal Newman, cor ad cor locutor, that heart speaks to heart. So what God wants, and I think what people want, is you, me. I mean, the authentic person. We don't have to make it into something that it's, you know, some big production. No, God just likes to hear it from you and your voice in your way. And we find it very endearing when we, you know, when little kids say things, they say it in their own way, you know. And I think that's how God listens to, like, we're his kids. So in our own inimitable way, say what's in your heart. Tell God. And that's actually the easier part. Then we have to be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. Well, how long? And what if he doesn't say anything? I didn't hear anything. Well, yeah, there's the waiting game. And it's like Elijah, you know, it's just a little whisper, not the big, you know, earthquake or the driving wind or the crushing rocks. It's a little tiny whisper, and you got to have pretty good ears and to hear. So, but the saints, they would say, just persevere, hang in there. It's coming.
Yeah. How do you listen to that still small voice of God? We're talking about prayer today here on The Inner Life with our spiritual director, Father Sam Martin. How is your prayer life? Are you wrestling with something in prayer right now and maybe could use a word of advice or counsel? Give us a call at 888-914-9149. How has God spoken to you? When was a time when he did answer your prayer and you were grateful for it? Give us a call and give us that inspiration and encouragement as well, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 888-914-9149. We're going to take our first break. We'll be back with more of the conversation coming up right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Speaking to a friend of mine, that's what we're talking about today here on The Inner Life. We're talking about prayer. My name is Patrick Conley. Thanks for joining us on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. Wherever you're listening, God is always listening to your prayers, and we're kind of unpacking that a bit. So our spiritual director today is Father Sam Martin, pastor of Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Wausau, part of the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. If you have a way in which prayer has been really meaningful, maybe God has spoken to you in a specific way, maybe you want to offer some encouragement for others, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Equally, if you're struggling with something in prayer and need a little bit of advice, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Let's take a phone call, Father. We've got Claire calling in from Massachusetts. Claire, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. I was just listening. I try to listen every afternoon to you. And speaking to what Father said, that you really do need to speak aloud to God. I'm dealing with cancer, And my son just got diagnosed at 26 with leukemia.
Wow.
But both on a good path. But through that process, I've spoken aloud to God to say, why is this happening? I trust you, but I really don't like this very much right now. And just relying on him. And I do try to pray the Liturgy of the Hours every morning with the book that I get from Word on Fire, to really be in tune with the great psalms and prayers that the Lord's giving me. So that helps a lot if anybody else is struggling.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful response, Claire, to the cross as it's come to you, not once but many times, and in pretty profound ways that sometimes, many times as human beings, we kind of shut down, you know, we just kind of give up. But you've run to the Lord, and as much as there's still pain and there's still, you know, sometimes we just don't have all the light, we don't have all the comprehension. That, and people imagine that, well, you know, then your prayers aren't working. I mean, he must not be listening, he must not be responding. And prayer is the ability to accept the life that God has permitted. It's not all a part of what his, you know, volition, that he wants people to get sick. No, this is a part of sin, and he permits it, but only when he can draw a greater good from it. He does seem to have the capacity, of course, to change things once in a while, to, you know, kind of interrupt the natural laws, but it's his preferred way, typically, to let things run their course. So when we get sick, if that's a terminal disease, it can, you know, cause our life to come to its natural end. But the prayers that we offer, because people will say, well, then I'm just done praying. You know, I mean, what's the point? It doesn't do any good. No, that's never true. There's no such thing as unanswered prayers. God listens to every one of them. He just has his own ways of weaving those into a tapestry that we can't see yet. We're too close to it. We're in it. We can't see that, oh, so something good did come out of that. That I was listening to this testimony about this guy. He said he wanted to leave his hometown because he had made a lot of messes and his reputation was, you know, he's, anyway, but then his best friend was killed, and he went into a real dark night, and he just was so angry at God. He said it was his first time ever really praying, and he's like, God, why don't you take me and not him? He was good. He was making a positive impact, and I've just been so selfish. And then he had this feeling that God said, because I'm not done with you yet. And he just couldn't believe it, but it changed his life. He went on a whole long search through many different religions and everything else, but he found his way back to the Catholic Church. So I, you know, listening to his story, does God allow some to fall that others might be saved? I mean, that's not what he wanted. It's not like, well, I'll let this kid die young so I can save this other one. Well, that doesn't seem fair, you know, but he can draw good out of anything and everything. Just the things that we don't let him, then he waits. And I suppose prayer is letting him into our hurt right now. It's not going to go away if I bury it, if I try to chemically medicate it away. I understand those things, and anyone who's ever suffered can have a certain empathy for other people that have turned to false idols, the things that they can't heal me. But Claire, in this case, you brought it to the Lord. You joined our Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross. Just yesterday, I was reading this little book about the Rosary, and they were talking about Pope John Paul and the impact that he had in this priest's life who wrote this book. And anyway, the priest was going to Częstochowa, which is a famous Marian shrine in Poland. And what Pope John Paul said one time, before he consecrated Poland to the Blessed Virgin Mary, he said, I am a man of great trust. I learned to be so right here in Częstochowa. And after he lost his mother when he was 8, and then his brother, and then his dad, his whole family, they were all gone by the time he was 20. And out of the brokenness of his life and the sadness and probably the great fear, he learned trust at the foot of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Claire, I think we can hear that in you. In spite of terrible loss that will only be redeemed in heaven. People say, well, are you doing better? I'm doing better. But there's always going to be some degree of pain, some degree of hurt. Like I was still wish it hadn't happened, but I've begun to see some of the good that God has brought from it. Prayer is the ability to see some things, not everything. The ability to hope and to trust and to keep going. And I know everybody does. There are a lot of people that don't pray that it's amazing the resiliency of the human heart. But they're not going to find, you know, that redemptive value of suffering. They're not going to be able to unite their heart to Christ and in the same way as they will once they learn to pray and to relate it all to God. And then to wait and see that that's what the past is for, a preparation for a future only God can see. And please, God, we seek to understand someday. We will. But Claire, that's you know, the Liturgy of the Hours, for those unfamiliar, it's just the Psalms. It's the way that Jesus prayed as a Jewish boy, so an imitation of Christ. The Church has long prayed the Psalms and the Liturgy of the Hours. It's all kind of, you know, codified. It's all systematized, organized, and it was mainly just priests and religious, but now the lay people are invited to pray that way, too, at certain times of the day. And I know lots of lay people that find it to be an acquired taste, like all of us. You know, it takes time, but it's a way that it sanctifies the hours of the day. So you remember that, you know, sometimes we don't remember God except 1 hour on Sunday, but bid and run bid, and God's present everywhere. So the more we're aware, I think it helps us with things that there are times where I get frustrated, and then I remember that God's near me, and I'm just a kid to him, so he musses up my hair. He's like, "You doing okay, kid? I mean, are you all right? And you're going to throw your little tantrum?" "Yeah, I am. Lord, I am." And then he always helps me with perspective, like, "Okay, all right, you know, that this too shall pass." And then when I can smile and feel not so alone in my frustration, my brokenness, it protects me from, maybe I don't say some of the things I would say otherwise or think or feel those things for a long time and they fester. No, prayer is recognizing that God is close to us. He is. I mean, if you don't pray, it's not like he's not close to you. He's just not going to be aware of it. But if you do pray, you say, I see God a lot more often now. I mean, that's what Mother Teresa would say, that Jesus is passing by. I mean, he's in distressing disguise sometimes. But, and Claire, you're seeing that. And the great thing, one of the greatest things about prayer is we start to recognize that he's in me too. He's with me. Well, you seem so sad, and I am some days. But the Lord came to comfort the sorrowful. He also came to bring some sorrow, I think, sometimes to the comfortable. Not because he's cruel. No, he can't be. That's impossible for him. But as a preparation. When St. Jana realized that, you know, that she was with her fourth child, that there was going to be a hard decision, she said, "Choose the baby. Whatever happens when I go into labor, save the baby." And that's what they did. And she had one last moment of lucidity when she spoke to her husband. And she said something like, "Peter, we were so happy with our babies and our family and all of our life. But it's not right to go home to God without having suffered. And so he's allowed me to experience that. I've already been over there," as she kind of intimates, and suggests that it's worth it. So, Claire, thank you for your courage and your compassion and your faith, which is a beacon of hope for a lot of people listening in today.
Yeah, yeah. Claire, I was going to say the same thing that Father just ended with there, that thank you for being an excellent example in prayer, one that we can all seek to emulate. And may God give you his grace, his mercy, his healing, his peace, and his presence, both for you and your son. Thank you for calling in, and be assured that you have thousands of people praying for you right now. Thank you for calling in, and appreciate you listening and trying to listen every day. Really appreciate that too, Claire. God bless you. Let's go now to James calling in from Northern California. James, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to call in. I had a question and kind of a comment about, I think, a missing part of prayer. And it's based on a scripture in Corinthians that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." So for me, when I get anxious, you know, it's easy for St. Paul to say, he was a saint, right? But the rest of us, we get anxious about a lot of things. And so when I get anxious, I start thinking of all the things I'm thankful for. And for me, it has become just an essential part of prayer. So much prayer seems to be asking and petitioning and that kind of thing. But I think to have the attitude of gratitude, so to speak, and to praise God and thank Him no matter what the circumstances, I think is an essential part of prayer. And sometimes we get shortchanged in that regard, like during the Eucharistic prayer, when it says, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven and he gave you thanks. I don't think Jesus just looked up and said, thanks, Father. No, but as I understand it, the Passover included the great halal, Psalms 114 to 118, which included thanksgiving and praise and worship. And it was an extended time of praise. And to me, that is an example that Jesus gave us of prayer. So anyway, I wonder what your comment would be about that.
Yeah.
Well, James, that's fantastic. You're a budding theologian. You're on right on top of a lot of things there. I mean, he's blessed Solanus Casey, who was a little Capuchin priest born in Wisconsin. He's buried in Detroit now, and he would always tell people that you should thank God now for what he's going to do later. Have the confidence of a real child of God to say, Father, I know that you're going to do the best thing for me. I thank you for whatever. And Jesus, sometimes he would pray that, like, Father, I thank you for hearing me, for listening to me, that I realize this sign is not for me, it's for these people, so that they would know your goodness. And so we want to have, gratitude is really a key for healing. And, you know, when people say, don't worry, well, I mean, great advice, that really helps, you know. We're going to worry, that's part of the human condition. But what helps to heal that and balance that is the gratitude, to never forget the goodness of the Lord. So St. Ignatius would teach this little exam at night or any time of the day, to, with the Holy Spirit's help, to see the blessings. And, you know, Mother Teresa was told that she was wasting her time in Calcutta and is all corrupt and all this stuff, and she finally said, fine, yeah, you're right, there's evil here, but there's good too, and I've chosen to see the good. And that's what gratitude is to remember the goodness of the Lord. So the Eucharist is a way of supernaturalizing a desire that we just are happier when we're grateful, when we see life as a gift. And in spite of all of its flaws and its frustrations, the world never changes. We're in an election year and things are, you know, there's a lot of divide among people and all sorts of, you know, just a lot of hurt and fear. And so be anxious and nothing. Well, I don't suppose it was easy for Paul either. I think it was probably harder for the saints than we give him credit for. But he's discovered something, and so have you, James, that let's not waste our fear. Let's give that over to God. The only antidote to fear is faith, is the trust that God can draw good out of things. A crucifix is a reminder that it's over. Well, no, it's not over unless he says it's over. I mean, they said it was over that day too, but this is a God who knows his way out of the tomb, so darkness for him can't hold the light. Death, it has no more strength over him. Sin, he never sinned, but he paid for all of it. He atoned for every sin that will ever be committed. Now, that doesn't mean we're all saved just yet. We got work to do. And most of it is on the level of, do you ever thank God? You know, it's the one line that's in every Mass, because it's in the preface, and it's universally, it's always there. It is right and just to give praise and thanks to God. Right and just. We have a duty, you know, to thank God that we were born at all. We already won the lottery. We already have a chance to spend eternity in heaven. So these are really good insights, James. You know, be anxious and nothing. Well, we're going to be anxious, but that attitude of gratitude is the old cliche, but that acknowledging the gift of life is going to help to balance that and to heal. It's like St. Paul also says, be angry, but do not sin. Well, you know, we're not going to avoid anger. It's a passion, and when it's close to love, it can be a noble passion. When it gets disordered, it can make a mess in the human heart. But so it is with all these things that are integrated, healed, and reconcile with God through prayer and the grace that he gives, especially in the sacraments. God bless you, James. That is, what you shared is just right spot on.
Yeah.
And it helps a lot of people, myself included, to remember, that's right. Every day we should spend some time counting our blessings. It's a really very salutary thing for our heart and our soul. It'll change our outlook on life. Every day we think, well, there's probably some good things today. I don't look at my schedule and dread it. I look at it and say, you know, I'm going to be on Relevant Radio today with Patrick Conley. I mean, that's like the best hour of my week, you know. So, I mean, Did that sound like hyperbole, or did that sound stupid?
Well, work on making it. Yeah, you can work on making that sound a little bit more legitimate there, Father. But nonetheless, it is an enjoyable time as we're talking with Father Sam Martin about prayer today here on The Inner Life. James, thank you so much for the call and for the encouragement, the inspiration. Love the idea of, yeah, when we're facing suffering, let's remember all the great things, all the very great things, the good things that God has brought into his our lives. Not least of which, in fact, probably at the top of the list, his own very presence and love. James, thank you for the call and thanks for listening. If you have some inspiration and encouragement to share, or if you're wrestling with something in prayer right now and would like some advice, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149, or send us an email. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We've got to take another quick break, but we'll be back with more of the conversation on prayer coming up right after this.
There was one somewhere for me, children, and I believe there is a brighter day.
Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
All my sins forgiven, and I was free from care. I found the answer. I learned to pray with faith to guide me. I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer. I learned to pray.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Cole, for reminding us that, the answer is in our prayers. Even though sometimes it may seem like God is not answering, well, sometimes it's just that we might need a little bit of help in other areas that we're not focused on right now. By the way, one of the ways that Relevant Radio, you can help out Relevant Radio, we know we need your help because we're looking for parish ambassadors, volunteers who can spread the word about Relevant Radio at your parish. Only takes about an hour a month, so not a huge investment of time, but it actually pays huge dividends for us in terms of bringing Christ to the world through the media. We'll connect you with fellow ambassadors, our team, and resources to share a message. You can sign up to become a parish ambassador today at relevantradio.com/ambassador. That's relevantradio.com/ambassador. Our spiritual director today is Father Sam Martin, pastor of Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Wausau, Wisconsin. We're talking about prayer today. Before we go back to the phones, Father, I wanted to ask you specifically, and this came up actually in James and in Claire's both, they were talking about this, the regularity in prayer. That seems to be something that is always touted by people, you know, saying we need to be regular in prayer. You want to say a few words about what that means?
Well, like anything else in life, I mean, a habit, you know, if it's cultivated, can become a virtue, and then that becomes the glory of God when we're fully alive. So that's what makes us come alive. It's inspiring, and it allows the gifts that God has given us to be at full disposal, not being used for what I want. The prayer is a way of the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying. So it's a sacrifice of our time and our heart and our energy, and it's always repaid 100-fold and then some. So prayer, like, I mean, any athlete knows that if you get to a tip-top shape, and then you take a few days off, well, then it's just goes right out the window. It takes a long time to get into shape, and very easily does it go away. And it's a very similar. That's why St. Ignatius calls them the spiritual exercises, because it is work, but it's holy work. And if it's done just consistently, it's more the tortoise than the hare, just steady and constant. And all the saints will they'll show that if you just have that basic foundation of prayer, it might grow. It's not a matter of like, well, I prayed 8 hours today. Well, okay, that's good, you know, but it's not the quantity, it's the depth of it. It's the disclosure that we make to God, the vulnerability. So it has to be regular, and it has to be something that in terms of perseverance, that there are dry times, and then there are times where we're just moved very emotionally to tears and to joy and all sorts of beautiful things. And through it all, it's the constancy of it that will bear the greatest fruit. So every day to have some time that we give to the Lord that's just you know, in that intimacy, that divine sharing of grace and hope and trust and fear and all of it. So
Right. Well, and you mentioned the dry times. I think one of the dare I say it, the dangers of making prayer so regular is that, well, for one thing, it might become routine, and so we forget that we're actually entering into conversation when we pray. But also, we do go through those dry times where it just seems like there's again, I'm struggling with my language. I don't like to use this term, but there's no payoff, it seems. How do we deal with dry times in prayer, Father?
Like anything else, we ask God to just, convict our heart that it's worth it. I mean, why do people, practice their trumpet? I want to make beautiful music. I want to give my best. I want to be first chair. All sorts of mixed motives. But, that I've just seen in human beings, it's a mystery to me to some degree that some people gave their best because they were passionate about it. If it's on the football field or in the classroom or in the church, where does that passion come from? I think from the Holy Spirit. I think He's the one who inspires, and then life isn't just lived anymore, it's embraced, and there's a difference. So why do some give all and some hardly give any? Well, that desire, it makes us as big or as small as its object. So if I just want to get rich, well, you're going to have a small heart, but if I want to be a saint, well, then you're going to have a great heart. So I think that Jesus said to you, we should ask, like the blind man, he said, what do you want me to do for you? I said, that I may see. Well, that's the beginning of prayer. Like, what do you want? I want to be a saint. Well, what's that? Well, someone that lets the light in, someone that lives for others, someone that is forgiving, someone that makes a difference in a prayer. Okay, well, that's a noble goal. So be honest with what we really want, and that'll help us then. So why do you pray when you don't feel like it? I think it's love. I think that's what gets moms out of bed when the kids are sick and need to be fed or what. I think that it's love that motivates people, and we have to ask that, increase my faith, Lord, increase my love. That way we can get through those dry times. And then you're doing the right thing for the right reason. You pray because it makes you feel good. Well, not always. That would be selfish. It makes it sound like right. It's just an indulgent, you go to the spa because, there are deeper, more noble reasons. I pray because it's the right thing. It's my way of thanking God. It's my way of preparing my heart to serve the people that He's going to put in my life. It's my way of accepting suffering, not understanding all of it, but not wanting to avoid all of it either, that all of us must suffer. And I want to do so in a way that softens my heart, doesn't make me crusty and mean and unforgiving. So how do you get through anything that's difficult? Well, it's the white knuckle thing will get you so far, but I think it's love that He loves me and He likes to be with me. So I don't want to not be there. If I don't show up, He misses me. He misses you. He's God. How could He possibly miss you? That's why, because He loves perfectly and He really likes to be with us. So I don't like to miss a day with Him. I know I'm going to have eternity with Him, but that begins now. That's why Pope John Paul said, tomorrow begins today. Like, why would you put off until the end? Like, you could start that friendship here. Then you don't have to just, wake up and see this light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't really know Him. Everybody's talked about Him, but I'm a little shy around Him because I didn't get a chance to. So anyway, this is motivation that, it's like a friend of mine that, they were going to get up and milk the cows, and it was cold, it was dark, it was winter, and the teenage girl said, I don't feel like milking the cows, and she starts taking off her hat and gloves, and the dad says, neither do I, and he finished getting dressed up and went out and did it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's love. That's, I think. It's not just duty. I think there's something more transcendent. So.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, thank you, Father, for that. Let's see if we can squeeze in quickly one more phone call. Tim is calling in from South Chicago. Tim, we just had a few seconds left.
Sure. Hello. Great program. Real quick, St. Faustina said all our pain and suffering are beautiful gifts at the altar in heaven, which I always remember. My mom always taught us to offer up our pain and agony for the poor souls in purgatory. And I did it one time, kind of with a tight tongue, and our Lord actually spoke to me and said, with my cross. See, we have to suffer because it's, our Lord suffered so much for us, we have to combine our suffering with His. And then we got to remember that St. Gertrude prayer where you say a prayer and it saves 1,000 souls in purgatory. And there's actually a rosary. I Google it every night, and it's a beautiful voice and music, and it saves 50,000 souls from purgatory. Beautiful. And now St. Padre Pio's friend died, and he appeared to him 2 weeks later, and he looked terrible. And he said, what's wrong? He says, pray for me, masses. He says, I'm suffering in purgatory. He says, why? He says, one day is 100 years, he says, and the suffering so intense that the hottest flame on earth.
Sorry, Tim, I'm going to have to cut in just so Father can offer a brief response there. Thanks for calling in, Tim. But, Father, last few seconds before we ask for your blessing.
Oh, it's great to pray for those who have gone before us. And there are these beautiful prayers, as Tim mentioned. So anything we can do for the church suffering, because probably some of us are going to be there someday, they won't forget it. They might advance before us. The body of Christ is one, and not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. So thanks, Tim.
Amen. Thanks, Tim. Father, may we have a blessing from you as we close today.
May Almighty God give you the great grace of knowing how to pray and the love of prayer that leads you to do it often for the world, which is in such need of God's mercy. May he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, Tim gave us a good lead-in for Monday's show. I hope you can join us because we're going to talk about that judgment that we all will face someday. And so talking about praying for the souls in purgatory. Join us with our spiritual director, Father Eric Nielsen, on Monday. Coming up next, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Our celebrant today is Father Mark Malezova. Father Martin has been our spiritual director today talking about prayer. Share the show with others at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you next time. Grace and peace.